Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Nice to be with you on the Saturday afternoon, all heading to kick off 3 o'clock. The Knights taking on the Titans, it, of course, is in Newcastle. It's Old Boys Day, a very important day for the Newcastle Knights. And a mixed one, I would have thought, given what has been going on in Newcastle. As we know, Nathan Brown has gone. He had planned to stay for the last two games, but decided his position was untenable. He thought he'd, as they always say, lost the room. I don't, I'm not sure exactly what that means. I know that these two gentlemen will probably help me out with that. It's a sad story. Last week on this show, we had Sturlo in, and he will be in again at 2:30 this afternoon. And he talked about how terrific Nathan Brown was at the job that he'd done so far at Dragon and team halfway up a mountain. And sadly, he wasn't going to be the person who would plant the flag at its peak if that is to happen for the Knights. How and where did it all go wrong? If we're talking about what Nathan Brown did, then suddenly we hear that the, you know, he approached after the terrible loss last week, he approached the players and asked them, well, if it's me, if you don't want me around, I'll leave, and didn't really get enough response for him to believe that he had support. So he's walked. It seems to have been handled poorly.
I don't think, it was handled very well at all by Newcastle, and I feel really sorry for Brownie. I think Phil Gardner, their CEO, had come out and put out an open letter to the fans and explaining, you know, the reasons for it. And there's been a lot of misinformation in the media. But in fact, I know a lot of journalists had tried to get in contact to get, you know, his side of the story, and, you know, was not giving that access. So firstly, if you're going to whinge about misinformation, maybe when people try to contact you to get the right information, there's
make
an opportunity
there.
Yeah, exactly. And I know throughout the whole saga with Penrith and Ivan going there, the guys at Penrith did that, like Dave O'Neill made himself available when he thought there was misinformation, things like that. So that's one thing I think went wrong. And if he's saying one of the reasons was the results just were not good enough this season. So if that is the case, if the results are not good enough and your team 4 weeks out from the finals still have a chance to make it, why on earth would you make the decision then? And essentially, I mean, I think they've sabotaged the campaign, because as soon as that decision was made, we saw how poorly they played. If it was purely about results, try and get them into the finals first. And that's another mistake.
Yep.
And then it seems like too, they he and the recruitment manager, Troy Pizzette, have essentially, they got a little sort of teamwork going on. Yep. And then when Nathan Brown had some concerns and went to Phil Gardner about Troy, essentially then they've backstabbed Brownie, essentially. So there are multiple stages
Troy
of Troy.
Yeah,
and Gardner, essentially. Yeah. So Brownie had concerns about Troy, and not knowing that essentially they've worked really well together and got a bit of feeding each other information. Yeah. And then instead of siding with Brownie, he's sort of taken Troy's side. So there are multiple things along the way. Yeah. And I think altogether it's just compounded, and then we've ended up with an absolute circus.
Oh, look, you know, I just feel for the fans at Newcastle. I know I've done a few things up in and around Newcastle, and even this year when they were going on that run, there was such a buzz around Newcastle. They felt like they had a team who were going to give it a real good shake, you know, this year in the eight. I think that was in the middle of, you know, five or six, you know, wins. Clemmer was playing some good football. You know, we talked about the other night, mate, for Saifidi got picked in Origin because they were on such a good run. I do feel for Brownie because, you know, I don't know, he's probably trying to change the game a little bit with even, you know, contract. Like he said, I'm happy just to go year by year, you know, like in this day and age, that's massive. And that's, you know, that goes to show that he's confident in what he's building there. And I thought this year, they weren't in my eight, but there was no doubt that team with Ponga, obviously Mitchell Pearce, you know, started the season on fire, that side is a top eight side, or was.
It's hard to work out, actually, Tony, where it went wrong. That's what I've been trying to put the pieces together over the last couple of weeks, just as this all unfolded. I mean, we all know Brownie quite well. He comes on and gives up his time on a regular basis. And, so, you know, when you watch his teams play, they always look like they've got a plan. He looks like, to me, that he's been able to, you know, take a side that had no Origin players or in it over the last couple of years to five this year. Seems to be getting the best out of the individuals. Hasn't been able to, obviously, achieve that on a weekly basis. But it it's just puzzling. I mean, it's obviously important that you have really good relationships with your core senior players. And from what we're hearing, for some reason, that's been the divide. And look, sometimes it's the best thing for the club moving forward. You know, if your core senior group and for some reason your coach can't get along, well, then there needs to be action taken. How they've gone about taking that action, I believe, has been really poor, shown a lot of experience. But the concern for the club moving forward is, you know, have they got people that they can rely on to do the job to bring the right person into the organisation now that the club is in the position that it's in? And we won't know that for the next couple of years. Who are they talking to? I heard Danny Badiris give an interview a couple of nights ago where he said, look, there was a committee put together that had himself and I think John Quayle on it in relation to when West's leagues took over and made sure everything sort of transitioned pretty smoothly. And we were sort of consulted on a few different things. But after that, I think that panel had been deconstructed and not there anymore. And so they haven't been confided in any of these latest moves that the club has made. So the concern for the Knights and the fans is the club's in a certain position now. Who's going to come in and take them to the, you know, next level? And I don't know, is Adam O'Brien the right man? Apparently he's the guy that's been chosen.
You think it's a tough ask for anybody? I mean, there's not been, even Wayne Bennett struggled a little bit there. It's an interesting city, yeah. Newcastle, for its coaches. I mean, Mal really did a terrific job. He got a premiership and certainly had the team there.
Rick Stone, he had him for a while, didn't he?
He had him for a little while. It's a working class place. And the fans they turn up even when they're not travelling so well, but they expect a kind of roll up the sleeves performance each and every week. Even if they don't get the win, they expect everybody just to give it a red hot go. Mm-hmm. And Nathan Brown was that kind of character that fitted, it seemed, with Newcastle, but yet no success.
Well, he seemed like a perfect fit because he's real, like, sort of honest sort of bloke, and there's no lies with him, and he tells his players, and even the Jesse Ramian thing, that's 100%. I've been coached by Brownie, he's a mate of mine. Actually, the first time I met Brownie was through Gordon Tallis back in the day. I do feel for Brownie, but you know what? He's not actually even dirty about it. Like, he understands rugby league keeps giving him, and he's just, you know, he might be disappointed with how things have worked out, but some of those players should be embarrassed with how they've sort of...
What did you make of Kalyn Ponga? Now, he went on Fox Sports and basically apologised for the strawberry milkshake remark. For those who've been on another planet, he basically, when asked about Nathan Brown saying he was leaving, how do you feel? He said, I was having a nice strawberry milkshake, so I didn't feel too bad, which is the sort of answer if somebody asks a seven-year-old kid, what do you think about your rabbit dying? It seems inappropriate in this situation. Now, he said it was really that Brown, he had asked the team not to make a big thing of it. So he was trying to follow that line.
Yeah, and I've interviewed, I mean, I'm not best friends with Kalyn, but I've interviewed him a number of times, and I think he's a good kid, and that was just a mistake. It absolutely was disrespectful, but I don't think he's that type of person, and I think he realises that. Now, he's still pretty young at the end of the day, and while we say, you know, how great is he with media? Oh, he's so marketable, but he's still so young, and when... if he gets told, oh, just don't worry about it, play it down. I think it was just an honest mistake, and I think he's still a really good kid. And, I think he's 100% learned his lesson. He even said his mum and dad gave it to him and said it was, you know, they were disappointed in it.
Yeah, I met his mum at the Dally M's last year, and she was so nice, but he is so approachable, and he's different. He's not like the old school, like, just he lives football. Our thing's obviously outside of football. We've spoken to him a few times. He's got his mates. He loves his surfing and that. I think he loves his dog. But, I think it's just a lesson well learnt for Kalyn. I think, he wasn't trying to be disrespectful, as you said. But, it's just one of those things where just for Newcastle, the fans will be so frustrated now, and Kalyn will learn from that. But I reckon another thing that's been frustrating there too is, mate, the CEO saying that he's not going to deal with Kalyn's manager until he gets a new manager. Like, he can't dictate. I'm not sure what went on there, but you can't publicly come out and say that. And I know the price that the manager was asking, I don't care what it is, but, you know, the next couple of years, he's probably going to be worth that. But still, I thought that was pretty ordinary handled.
When you hear it, and you hear this all the time, that the coach has lost the dressing room, does that mean the dressing room is right? I mean, does the player group, do they have to win?
No, I think what happens when, I've had it at the Reds a few times, you just stop listening to the coach, or you just don't follow his game plan, or you just don't believe in what he's coaching. That's my take on it. At the Reds, we had four coaches in 4 years. Jeff Miller, Mark McBain. We had just different, you know. And as much as you like the coach, you know, sometimes you get the small groups and blokes go, mate, honestly, mate, what about that game plan? And that's where it sort of starts. So you should be taking it to the coach and saying, listen, I don't agree. That's why the senior playing group has to be so strong, because all of a sudden you break up and have these little groups. There's some positives, some negativity, and all of a sudden you go out there and you play like, you know, some of those bottom sides this year. Yep.
But surely that's, the culture is built from the senior players. Like, yep, somewhere at the Sharks, when you've got guys like Gow, Wade Graham, who, you know, if they have an issue this year taking it to John Morris, you know, I think maybe we're changing our playing style too much. They had that relationship with Flano, whereas if you're allowing players to secretly chat.
Yeah, but even last week, so last week, no disrespect to the Tigers, when I heard that score, I had to, like, because I would think a guy like Mitchell Pearce and obviously Ponga, that team couldn't get flogged. So, mate, I would want to rip in for the bloke next to me, as much as, not so much about Brownie. Okay, look, Brownie's on the way out, but you know what? We're still a chance at the finals, you know, mathematically. Let's rip in for one another, because we worked so hard in the preseason, and we were on a run at some stage this year.
Plenty to come on Saturday Triple M NRL. We will speak to Scott Drinkwater from the Cowboys. Reedy will give us his mail. Stirler will join us as well in New South Wales Cups, and Georgia Illawarra 10 lead Canterbury 0. Saturday Triple M NRL. Saturday Triple M NRL. Triple M just rocking the footy on a Saturday arvo for you. It is time now for a little bit of this action.
On Triple M NRL, the best of the best.
Basically, I need you, Wendell Saylor, you, Ryan Girdler, just to help me over a bit of pain, actually, because last week the cricket was horrible.
Oh,
it was a nightmare. 1:17 a.m.
I stayed up.
When Ben Stokes
stayed up for the whole
the winning
thing.
Yes,
runs.
Yeah. We're tragic.
Four runs.
We're tragic.
Oh, I went to bed
horrible.
About 11:30.
We had so many chances. It was like watching somebody having 100 match points in Wimbledon and losing every one of them. It was just so frustrating. So Ben Stokes, basically, well, literally off his own bat, has dragged England, who scored 67 in the first innings, or 112 behind at the first innings. Australia didn't get enough runs in the second, still setting 350, and against all odds, at 9 for 280 odds, still have to get 70-something when Jack Leach and his steamed-up glasses arrived at the crease and faced, what, about 5 or 6 deliveries, scored one run in the partnership, and Ben Stokes got them there. Amazing.
Just stuck around the leech, didn't he?
Yeah, he did the leech.
But you know what? It's like when you're...
Gerds is bad.
It's good. It's like when you're...
Why hadn't I thought of that? I've had plenty of opportunity to use that gag.
It's like when you're in a purple patch, when you're watching golf like Tiger, or you're watching, you know, rugby league and, you know, like Latrell Mitchell or someone, like, they're carving it up Tedesco. Yep. It was like when Ben Stokes... That was his moment. At no stage, I thought, you know what, we're going to get them. There's no problems. And I sat back real, real confident and cocky. But we got the appeals wrong.
Yes.
Mate, the umpires were – I don't want to blame the umpires, because I know –
Well, I do. Yeah. I do. Joel Wilson, he's the worst umpire in the world.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
He is officially – he should not be umpiring.
No. They've been sacked, haven't they?
Well, he was only going to do the first. They weren't actually down to – I think everyone jumped the gun on that. Something came out that they'd been dropped, but turns out when you go back to the original schedule, they weren't down to
They weren't down for that. No. The problem is that because they can't have home umpires, or in this series, you can't have an Australian or an English umpire in it. And in the world umpiring panel, 10 of the 15 who are available are Australian and English. So you get the last five who are there. Not that they're all hopeless. Yeah.
And the Kiwis don't like us.
The Kiwis don't like us. Yeah. Absolutely. No. Anyway, the umpiring, but that doesn't take away
from the fact, look, mate, you know what? There's that moment. It's pressure. Like, he's run out, you know, thousands of people, I've got no doubt, but that will haunt him.
Let's hope the haunting finishes in time for this next test, which I think begins next Thursday.
But can I be honest? Producer Charlie, he's never really
Englishman, he's never really
told me he was English. He's never really
First time's came out. They've had a win.
He said it when you weren't here. Maybe he's scared of you.
Yeah, but when I walked in,
hates
he was
the kangaroos. He said,
"When I walked in, he was making English breakfast tea." So you know, and then he was drinking it with
Was he? And he's wearing those pants that come halfway up his shins.
Yeah, he's going for a round of 18 after you, Tony.
He is.
Oh, shattered.
Anyway, look, that's taken
Steve Smith's back. That'll be good.
Jasper Papanović. Is that the golfer?
Jasper
Papanović. What's his name?
Jasper Papanović.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. What did I say?
Papanović.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Which is a good name.
Potato,
that's
potato.
That's all right. It's a bit like Maroon. Maroon makes different names, you know, just calls them different.
I don't know.
But you
golf.
Never let him know that he's made a mistake.
No, I love Maroon. He gets a bit feisty.
All right. So this was all by way of trying to get to
Where
are you going with this,
Tony? Where were we going?
I was going somewhere. I've got the hand on the wheel. All right. Mm-hmm. So the decision
you sure
was.
Do.
The thing
that's
was,
the problem.
I wanted the two of you to tell me a story that compares that some moment where you and your team has somehow snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. Wendell, has it happened to you? Wendell?
I was just having a look at what's coming up on the show, sorry.
Well, this is coming up on the show. Where are you at right now? This is what's on the show.
Yeah, no, I thought you were going on about the cricket still. Sorry, mate.
Only improve.
I clocked off, mate. That's why I was a winger, mate. Anyway, I think we were beating... We were winning.
Yeah. So, do you have a story?
No, I'm going to go to Ryan. I'll come back to you.
No, against Manly, we were winning 24-4, and there was about 15 minutes to go. And we're like, high five, and can't wait to get back. You know, we're at Brookie or Lotto Land, as it is now.
Of course.
Thinking, can't wait to get back home. We were going out to Rowers tonight. And I reckon 16 other blokes might have been thinking what I was thinking. And we got run down by Manly at the Seagulls there. I think Terry Hill carved us up down the right edge, and John Hopewadi, they had a field day. They scored some unbelievable tries, and we got beaten by 2 points that day.
Okay. What about you, Gerds?
Yeah, well, it might have been that great year, 2001. I'm not sure what year it was. Mate, I don't know.
Two years before you got the spoon.
Yep. But, yeah, we were leading the Cowboys at home. I think it was like 24-0 at halftime. Uh-huh. And I'm not sure what happened in the halftime break, but we got beat. I think 28-24.
Wait. Can we just back up on this anecdote?
No, that's the story. That's all there is.
No, can we just back up, Sparky? Because my understanding is this is quite a special game for you. Because you had the
little it's in the record books as, I think, the biggest comeback of all time from any other club. But the club wasn't us. It was against us. So it wasn't that special.
Okay. You were captain.
I might have been.
You were captain.
So I think I stood. Did I stand down as captain after that? Or no, I was just sacked. But, yeah, it wasn't a good night out. I don't think I've ever seen it before. We got a standing ovation at halftime. We got booed off at full time.
Wow.
No signs, though.
Hey, Tony, actually, I just thought of one. One, you know, for the Saturday NRL show when we had Who Does He Play For?
Oh, yes.
And Gerds and I had a terrible run. I think I was on 1.5 out of 5. Yep. And came to Dell, and he had easy ones, you know, some pretty regular first graders.
Yeah, Cameron Smith.
And he only got 1 out of 5, and somehow on 1.5, I managed to beat you, Dell.
Oh, so it's about you again.
It's always, as you say, it's always about me.
It makes me feel much, much better. Saturday Triple M NRL. Saturday, Arvo, Wendell Saylor, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdle, Tony Squires. Yes, Wendell.
Oh, Emma, she's funny. She just teaches me new words when I'm off air. Just,
I know, it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's quite a large amount of words that she could
use. Yeah, but I don't like the big words. I like, you know, those funny little sort of, you know, words.
Let's have a little talk about some of the changes that are planned for next year in terms of player personnel. Now, during the week, it was all about Appy Korosau, who will, Gerds, you'd be thrilled to know, be ahead to the Panthers.
Yeah, it's a great signing for the club, and I was a little bit surprised because everyone thought he was going to go over to the Bulldogs. I think he's originally comes from that area and came through their junior system, so they will be a little bit disappointed because they're building nicely. But for our guys, it's a great pickup. We also need to understand why he's been in such good form for Manly, though, and when you buy a player of this calibre, it's obviously going to change a little bit about how Penrith go about playing their football. Yep. I mean, this year, it's certainly something I believe that they've lacked in relation to, you know, they don't play a lot from dummy half. They seem to go to their halves. They've got State of Origin halves, and they sort of play, you know, a little bit with a little bit of width, and I think that's been one of their issues. So the fact that Appy comes along there and will challenge those markers, I think, can only be a benefit for him. But let's not forget, at the moment, he's playing behind Fenua Blake, Tapau, and Trbojevic, like three of the best middle forwards in the competition in form. They're laying a platform. They're allowing him to jump out. Now, Fainu comes on. They split the game about 40 minutes each, so he's only playing half a game, which gives him the energy to do that. Defensively, he's great. And Manly's style as well with Cherry Evans and Tommy Turbo there, it's flat and fast, and it really suits how Appy plays. Now, whether or not Penrith are willing to change their style around to play a similar game as Manly do to get the best out of Appy is going to be something that we need to see. Have Penrith got the players to play a style that's going to get the best out of Appy is the other thing that obviously the coaching staff need to do. But great clubman, fantastic fella. I think Trent Barrett, who coached him, obviously, at the Seagulls there, holds him in high regard. And
he's now, of course, gone as
the
assistant coach.
He's the guy that sort of, I think, you know, and I think, I'm not sure, Ivan might have coached him before.
I think he did, yes.
At Penrith there. So 2015 might have been his last year out there before he went over to Manly. So, yeah, fantastic signing, but let's hope they can get the best out of him.
So they've got Mitch Kenny and Wade Egan signed until the end of 2021.
Where's Katoa?
So you obviously need, I think Katoa. Yeah.
Is he going? Or is he
possibly
still
off and might be going, I think.
Okay.
I'll double check. But who would you, I mean, Mitch Kenny's been starting more. Who do you see? You obviously need a backup.
And yeah, look,
Who do you see? Would you be getting rid of Wade Egan or?
Well, it's funny. Like, Mitch is a guy that you can put out there for 80 minutes and, you know, he's a toiler. He goes about his business and I think his game will develop. Wade is probably a similar player to Appy where he likes to get out from dummy half and take opportunities and they probably haven't been presented with, as I spoke about before, the way that Penrith play so far this year. So I think they've both got potential. But obviously Appy's going to come in and he'll be their starting number nine and then you just need to decide on which style suits the team moving forward and pick one of those guys. And there's probably room for all three of them in the roster going into next year because you're going to have injuries and the like. But I would probably be thinking that that Appy will start and they will try and get some skill and some energy out of Wade Egan coming on late in the first and second half. And young Kenny will just sort of have to bide his time and develop in Canterbury Cup and then take his opportunity when he gets them.
I guess the other big forward who is on and, well, potentially can draw big money is Jai Arrow. Now, Gold Coast, and the Gold Coast still believe that he will re-sign there. They believe that's the most likely scenario. He's, you know, Gold Coast boy, wants to play with that, wants to lead that team out of the wilderness. So many people have tried over the years, haven't they? Other teams obviously have come at him. Sharks, Tigers apparently are the front runners. What are your thoughts?
Oh, look, look, for Jai, I can understand if he's having a look or testing the market. I just saw a couple of months ago he said that he wanted to stay at the Gold Coast and help, you know, build what they've got to build. Some things change, and I think it's, I know you're allowed to let him go on the open market, but geez, it's dangerous letting a player of that calibre go on the open market because those clubs could certainly do with him, but he's got to start to weigh up, okay, do I want to stay for a couple of years with Justin Holbrook and help? You know, obviously he's a future captain, there's no doubt, future Queensland captain too, I think. Or do I want to go somewhere and play finals football? So that's the dilemma you've got because he's going to earn between $750,000 to $1 million, no doubt.
Yeah, I think, I mean, potentially, depending on where you are, if you're the marquee player, you're going to get more. But he's still going to get a significant amount of money wherever he goes. But I think it's a matter of then, okay, do you want to play under a coach who's going to maybe make you a better player and a team who's going to make you a better player and play finals football? I guess it just depends what's more important to him. But as for the Tigers, I don't know how they can possibly fit him into their salary cap because they've got issues as is. They're trying to offload players as it is.
Your brother is signing?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
That's going to be the issues. And I feel, you know, I hope he stays at the Titans, but I just don't think they've got the room in the cap because they've made so many poor decisions over the last 3 or 4 years. They've got themselves into a real bind. And it always happens, Tone. You know, your best players come off contract and then you look at guys and, you know, obviously Ash Taylor's there getting a huge amount of money. And then you've got, you know, Boyd came in last year and Cartwright and the list goes on about, you know, some of the investments, Latu, that they've made over the last couple of years. That are essentially, I believe, going to force a guy like Jai Arrow out of the club. And that's how important the administration is. And it's a real shame, but I can't see him staying around.
Hey, Gertz, can I ask a question? I'm doing the game this afternoon. The young kid, Boyd, have you heard much about him? Is it Tana Boyd or something? Or have you heard much about him?
No, I haven't.
I think he was
Tana Boyd on debut
today.
Is he
at Keebra Park?
I'm not sure. I think he was at the Broncos. I think he was.
Yeah. They've got big raps in him, but I don't know too much about him.
Okay, so he's coming late today, yeah.
Yeah, well, fortunately, Sterlo will come in and he can explain everything.
That's good.
He joins us at...
I love when he comes in.
get a break?
Yeah, I get a break, and then I just get ready for Maroon. I love Maroon. He makes my Saturdays, other than you, Em.
Yeah, what a wheat chop liver.
Mm. No, you guys are good, but it's just like that. It's like half time, and then I bring my A game for the second half.
Oh, stop talking. Stop talking. You're ruining the whole day. The NRL stock market next. I'm depressed. Lovely to be with you. The Cowboys burst that fragile Bulldogs finals bubble on Thursday night. It hasn't been the season the Cowboys wanted either, but there have been some bright spots, including the performance of young gun Scott Drinkwater, who joins us now. G'day, mate. Well played.
Thank you. Thank you.
Is Scott Bolton still talking about that goal kick at the end of the game?
Bolton doesn't say too many words, actually, so kept it nice under cool there. Doesn't say too much, Bolt.
It's been a bit of a frustrating season for you, hasn't it? What do you take out of it?
Probably just confidence of, you know, being able to play in NRL week in, week out. That's probably been the biggest thing for me, is being able to, you know, perform consistent week in, week out. But, yeah, it's been a bit frustrating, a couple of narrow losses. So, yeah.
Scott, mate, you know, obviously you were at the start of the year at the Melbourne Storm. They had you as probably, you know, the number one there, and then obviously the injuries didn't help you. But, mate, just watching the way you play, you've brought something to the Cowboys. But there was a play there. It was a classy bit of skill from you. The left foot kick got the wrong bounce there, I think, the winger did. But do you see things like that? Do you play off the calf, or, you know, is it premeditated?
No, you know, that's probably one of my strengths, is that just playing off the calf, just, you know, getting the ball and just reacting to what happens in front of me. So, yeah, that wasn't premeditated. Pre-entered, whatever it is. I just seen
premeditated,
that.
Premeditated, that's okay. It's
premeditated, that's what it is. Premeditated. Yeah, I just seen that defender shoot on Morgo, so I just caught the ball inside and, yeah, somebody got an unlucky bounce there. Probably would have been in the corner if it bounced forward, not backwards.
Yeah.
Let's just say that's probably the first time Dell has even used the word premeditated, yeah, firstly.
And then corrected somebody else's English.
Yeah, he is the corrector, though, Scott.
Sorry, mate. I'm not trying to put you on show here, mate. I'm a North Queensland boy, mate. I love what you're doing up there.
Hey, hey Scott, tell us a little bit about the experience the other night. Obviously, you've only been at the club a short time, but it's a very proud club, and they said goodbye to their beloved. I think it's 1300 Smile Stadium, and you'll be moving next year. But what was the feeling like around the ground?
You know, probably a big week for the club. You know, obviously it's pretty emotional for some of the players that have played the majority of their careers at 1300 Smiles. So, you know, it was pretty motivating for us younger boys to go out there and perform our best for guys like Gavin Cooper, Scott Bowen, Michael Morgan. So, yeah, it was a good feeling on the night, and even better to, you know, get the win and get Bolts there, get last kick there at his home ground. So, yeah, it was unreal, doing the lap of honour after. You know, the fans were, you know, buzzing. So, yeah, it was a great feeling, and, you know, loved the fans up there. Very loyal.
Well, you just mentioned Gavin Cooper. He's just re-signed for another year, and every time I've interviewed him, he always seems like such a larrikin and such a great guy to have around the group. What's he like? How have you found him?
Yeah, exactly. He's a larrikin. He's, you know, he's just, he's very happy and bubbly, and, you know, always knows how to get people up, and he's a good judge of character too. You know, he's, you know, he's when someone's down, has a good chat with him. So, you know, when I first got the club, he was probably the first person I noticed, and you know, realised like what their character was like. So he's a champion bloke, and he's a great mentor for, you know, younger players. So, you know, it's going to be a big strength for us next year, having, you know, such another old head running around the park for us. And, you know, he's played outside the greatest ever for a majority of his years of Jonathan Thurston, so he's got a lot to offer.
Well, we called the game on Thursday night, and it was quite emotional too. Obviously, 95, they came in, the Cowboys, and I know what that football team means to, you know, everybody. But just even at the start, watching Loz walk on there with the two young Scott boys, Thumper's little boys, they're just certainly like their dad. It must be pretty emotional too with, you know, I think Thumper put out a message during the week and what he means to that club, mate.
Yeah, it was pretty emotional. It was probably more emotional last week when we found the news out, but definitely emotional again, you know, when we heard that, you know, as you said, Loz and the boys are going to walk out with a number 8 jersey. So that was pretty good. You know, good by the club to retire the jersey for the night. So that was, pretty special. And, you know, on Thump, you know, it probably took a lot of that and watched the game, but, you know, he wouldn't miss it for, you know, the world. So he's a champion bloke, and, you know, he loves his club. And, you know, when he speaks in meetings about, you know, the way we're playing football, you can hear the real emotion in his voice about, you know, how we're struggling, and it was really hurting him a lot. So, you know, yeah, it was great for the club to retire his jersey because he means a lot to this club.
Scott Drinkwater, you obviously at North Queensland, but you've spent plenty of time on the Central Coast, Terrigal Sharks. You would have had a chance to sit on the beach and contemplate the meaning of life. Here's a question for you. Are there more stars in the sky than there are grains of sand on the beach?
Well, apparently there is. Apparently there is that, but that's a big one. But yeah, apparently.
You are absolutely correct. There are more stars, and this is a useless piece of information that Scott Drinkwater put on his profile that he actually knows.
Okay.
I love it. I love it.
Well, you've redeemed yourself from before, mate. So, premeditated.
apart from the footy, are you enjoying your lifestyle up there?
Yeah, I am. You know, as I said, you grew up in the Central Coast, so plenty of time to spend my time on the beach. So I get to do that a lot more than what I was doing in Melbourne. So yeah, just got to get used to the summer now. Pre-season around the corner. The summer is going to be extremely hot. So that's going to be a big struggle for me. But you know, I'm looking forward to it.
There's a little bit of noise around that if Val Holmes doesn't kick on over there in the NFL, he might come back and potentially play up there at the Cowboys. Is that something you'd see as a positive for the club, or would that concern you as obviously he would like to probably play fullback as well?
No, I see it more as a positive. You know, I'm pretty confident and, you know, I'm pretty confident in my ability to keep a spot in the team. So I see it as a positive. It's probably better to have, you know, Val being able to choose for Val and not being able to have him. So, yeah, definitely a positive. And, but I hope he makes it in the NFL. You know, he's trained hard over there. Anything is living out of a hotel for the most time he's been over there, so pretty mentally draining for him. So I hope he gets the chance to, you know, make that top 53-man squad.
Hey, Scotty,
good attitude, man.
Yeah, well, we could see the positive, obviously, at the Melbourne Storm. You know, especially I think there was three fullbacks, and Pappenhausen is the fullback today. You guys are all pretty close, and I heard a through the start of the year they tried to offload Pappenhausen, obviously, because you were going to take the number one spot. You guys all still stay in touch?
Yeah, a little bit. We're on like a group convo on Snapchat and that, so we all do stay in touch. You know, I know the media were talking up, you know, Drone myself, but internally, you know, perhaps as a massive threat. You know, I played Australian schoolboys with him, and he was a fullback then, so I knew he was always been a freak. You know, so he was always a big threat. You know, he was the fittest in the club too, so you know, that's another strength that Craig Bellamy loves, people that, you know, fit and give effort and. You know, that's what he does, and he's a tough little kid. And so, yeah, I think I always knew that he was a big threat, especially come to trial time, you know. He was killing it. So, internally, he was a big threat. I knew that.
All right, Scotty Drinkwater, thanks so much for chatting to us, and well played this year.
Thanks for that. Thanks for having me.
What's up, mate?
There he is. Buddy. Scott Drinkwater from the Cowboys. Yeah, 7 quintillion, 500 quadrillion grains of sand.
Wow. Did you know that already, Tim?
Yeah, 70,000 million stars visible from Earth. You need the right equipment.
I was wondering where you're going with that.
All.
I was just saying.
It turned out I was going nowhere. But
yeah, no,
it
was going
all,
somewhere.
This is the penultimate round of on Saturday, Triple M NRL. Some foreigner for you there. Should just remind you, we just did speak to Scott Drinkwater. Every time we do an interview, we do it thanks to Celebrations, helping you celebrate.
Hey, Tony, can I just have a quick shout-out?
Okay.
Yeah, my youngest daughter Bonnie's on her way to a soccer gala tournament this afternoon. Okay. I just want to let her know that if she doesn't score 3 goals, she's not getting any dessert. Play on. Continue.
Yep. Mate, oi,
Father of the year. Yeah. It's Father's Day
at least
tomorrow.
2 goals and 1 assist.
Oh, okay, yeah, no, that's okay.
Good. That's mate, tough love.
Can
works,
make it
mate.
Realistic. Mate, make it realistic.
I should do it with Tristan, mate. Look where he's now.
Time for this. Ladies and gentlemen,
three in five. I love Tony Sessions. I love the 3 and 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
3 and 5. Idea of the contest is that I ask each of you a series of questions. You have to come up with 3 answers within the 5 seconds that are allotted to you. You have the added pressure of a little going on. You may well know the answers, but they often don't come to your head in the time frame that is available to you. I do have 3 categories. I'm confident in 2 of them. The 3rd one, really, really worried about. Anybody here interested in military history?
Yes, Tony.
Are you?
No.
Are you? Okay, well, Wendell.
Del might, because okay. He just, what was that word you just used?
What? Premeditated.
Premeditated.
Yeah, that's my word of the day.
Well, that's very military.
No, I'm just saying that Del's
speaking of military,
educated.
Look, I haven't got a story for every occasion, but when we used to play rugby league, we used to have those pre-season army camps and stuff.
Of course.
I used to hate them. Yeah. And I think my last army camp, was with the Dragons, 2009, and I just knew it was my last camp because I was being real smart, like these SAS blokes, and I just thought I'd be a bit chirpy and just sort of showboat and be Larry.
Oh,
and let me tell you, by the end of that 4 days, I did not have much to say.
Did your chirpiness then impact on the other your teammates? Did they all have to be punished for your behaviour?
Yeah,
which
they
is
did,
often
yeah.
very military
Ooh.
Thing.
Yeah, they did. But you know what?
Yeah.
It made us better that year because we won the minor premiership and then choked and lost. Went back to back in back to back losses in the finals. So yeah.
All the talk this week has been about the Battle of Brookvale or the Battle of Lottoland, as Scott Penn insists his people call it. Wendell Saylor,
yeah.
A history question then for you. Name three famous military battles.
Duntroon, World War One, World War Two.
Well, by definition, would we call a war a battle? There are battles within a war. So I would have gone Waterloo, Hastings, the Battle of Britain, the Battle of Long Tan, the Battle of Pearl Harbor, Gallipoli, Dunkirk, the Battle of the Bulge.
Yeah. Okay.
What did you say? The Battle of...
Yeah, he got Dunkirk, didn't he?
Yeah. All right, one point. Point for you. It's Father's Day tomorrow. We've already heard, Em, about your father. Well, you had the Father's Day last night.
Father's Day dinner.
Yeah, he had a few drinks and he missed it.
Oh, he came late to the Father's Day dinner. But that's fine.
Okay. Apparently all you need to get him is an autographed picture of Sandra Sully. Is that true? Would that make his father's day?
We can probably organise that.
Can you work
at
Channel 10?
Yes. We're all fans.
I know Sandra Sully.
Yeah.
She's a Queenslander.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm so unfortunate.
Yeah, she's a big Swans fan too. All right. I want you, given it's Father's Day, I want you to name three fathers and three sons who have played for the same NRL team.
Same NRL team. Wendell Saylor and Tristan.
Yes,
same team.
So it's 5 seconds. It goes quick.
So when you repeat the question, it's finished.
No, the Morrises weren't the same team technically.
Why weren't they the same team? Steve Morris played for the Dragons, and so did both of those boys, Brett and Josh.
No, it wasn't. It's St George Illawarra, so that's not the same.
Oh, wow.
Okay, well, Craig and Dean Young for St George. Steve and Matt Rogers for the Sharks.
So this is one of those unlosable moments that you're talking about. You're on one, Wendell's on one.
Yeah, and then you're going to get zero. This is one. This is a Ben Stokes moment.
This is.
I can be Ben Stokes.
Well, you could, or you could absolutely fall over and you could.
Would you like me to be Ben Stokes, Tony?
I'd be Ben Stokes and Nathan Lyon right now, if you wouldn't mind. Okay. Could you please name, there's obviously Paul Gallen, so name three players retiring this year, not named Paul Gallen.
Cooper Cronk, Paul Gallen, I can't think of any else.
You mentioned Paul Gallen when I said
Chris
specifically
Lawrence.
Not to mention, well, if it's a forced retirement. I don't think he's retiring at the moment, is he?
No, I think he wants
retiring?
To stay at the Tigers.
Matt Scott, we just talked about. Robbie Farah has mentioned he's retiring.
John
Michael
Sutton.
Gordon, Jeremy
Scott
Lattimore,
Scott
John Sutton, Blake Ashford is just a few of them. In the first time in the history of the game.
How did I get Blake? Yeah. How did I miss Blake?
Has Wendell beaten us?
Yes.
No,
it's
no,
one. It's one each.
Yeah, one each.
And I have no tiebreaker. Exactly.
We have to do one.
No, we don't.
Yeah, because
this
we
is
can't.
This not your show.
Well, there's golden point in the NRL. We're an NRL show, so we should get a winner.
No.
Just be happy with the drawing.
Yeah.
Don't
be a high achiever.
Just be happy. We've got plenty to come. Stirl will join us in roughly half an hour heading to kick off as well. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.